Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of The Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why The Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Hi, this is Harry Shearer, and you are listening to TV Confidential, a radio show about television.
Tony Figueroa and Donna Allen are with us as they bring us This Week in TV History. Tony's segment, as always, is brought to us by our friends at Story Salon, Southern California's longest-running, regularly performing live storytelling ensemble. For more information, storysalon.com, facebook.com/storysalon. What do you have for us this week?
October 27th, 1966, it's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, first aired.
I got a rock.
You got a rock.
Oh, God. Oh, this. Just thinking about this makes me very happy. It is not Halloween until I see this.
Well, right now it's Halloween. It's been Halloween since July in some parts.
Yeah. Well, it could technically be Halloween every day in my house because I think I watch this a couple of times a year. It's one of my favorites.
It is, yeah. But what you're saying is very true. It is a retailer's. We're recording this mid-September, and mm-hmm. The retailers have already had the Halloween stuff up since before Labor Day. And you know the Christmas stuff is coming up. And Thanksgiving will get in there somehow.
When did Halloween stop becoming a kid's thing and more of an adult's thing?
I would say the city of West Hollywood probably gets the most credit for expanding, I would say, Halloween as a celebration. And I think it's taken off from there. Because now people from all over the world and of different... They come to L.A. They come to West Hollywood to celebrate in the street.
I mean, they used to do the same thing up in San Francisco, but then about just before I moved down here, the Board of Supervisors shut down. I think they all but shut down the Castro Street celebrations.
We used to, you know, as residents of Hollywood, we used to have celebrations on the boulevard. The mm-hmm. boulevard would be shut down, and it was always fun.
It was always very adult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was fun, you know, it was a city-wide celebration when I first moved here. I mean, it was wild.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the retailers liked it, you know, because you would, you know, pop into stores, you know, especially if you're going to grab a quick drink or something like that. You could pop into stores and you would have, you know, just people walking up and down the boulevard. You had crazy costumes, you know. People with silly string, all that. You would always have at least, you know, two or three different religious organizations also working the angles. I think there were a few holy wars because you had conflicting denominations crossing paths with each other. So it wasn't about Halloween. It was about which church was better.
But then everything kind of, I mean, West Hollywood had always been there, but everything moved west. Now Hollywood Boulevard, it's much more, it's quiet. I won't say that it's quiet, but it's not as...
It is not as wild
as it used to be, and it's more families. It's nothing wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, Hollywood Boulevard also is... the boulevard itself and the intersecting streets are very vital to L.A. So, you know, it's a big deal when you shut that down for either the Hollywood Christmas Parade, which we do the Sunday after Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. or even when a film shoot's going on, or when the Oscars are held at the Dolby Theater now. When you shut down those roads, you really do hurt the normal flow of traffic, which is, you know, very delicate at best. And so I know on Halloween and stuff like that, you could really mess up, and to have a big event in Hollywood and West Hollywood, all points in between are always congested and all that. So I know that they had to kind of thin that out probably for those reasons as well.
And, of course, as this relates to television, is that this is another it's not a pet peeve of mine, it's sort of something that when you look at the course of every television season, it used to be that every now and then someone would do a holiday episode, everyone would do a theme episode. But you watch, and it's particularly with comedy series, there is an obligatory Halloween episode,
mm-hmm.
there's an obligatory Thanksgiving episode, there's an obligatory, I mean, you can set your clock to it. I mean,
yeah.
It's like every show does it. It's like built into the contract.
Oh, I think Roseanne really got that, because Roseanne, I think for every season they were on, there was always a new Halloween episode,
yeah.
which were great.
No, and I'm not, and some of these are actually very good. I mean, I know Modern Family, they do a Halloween themed episode every year.
And it's always brilliant.
Always
and
brilliant.
I think everyone looks forward to the Simpsons Halloween episodes.
Well, yeah, Treehouse of Horror.
Treehouse of Horror, which goes, you know, outside of the normal continuity. The funny thing about the Simpsons one is oftentimes because of World Series coverage on Fox.
It gets aired after Halloween.
After Halloween. Or also, I think elections have also bumped
yes.
it.
Yes.
Election years have also thrown. But people still look forward to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And they are, I think, some of the smartest writing on television.
In many cases, they're homages to the Twilight Zone.
To the Twilight Zone, to the Outer Limits, mm-hmm. to
Alfred Hitchcock.
And you would think after 25 years, they would have exhausted all. No, they're still great.
And it's Treehouse of Terror.
Treehouse of Terror.
That's it. Okay. That's it.
And it's the only time you see Kang and Kronos, the aliens.
That's right. That's
they
right.
would all they would always appear in the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
And yeah, and some of them, I just find them a lot of fun. But again, we go back to, I think, traditions like The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Which are still fun to watch.
Yeah, and remember the very first special, of course, was a Charlie Brown Christmas that was wrong for every single reason, and CBS had nothing to air, and let's put this thing on and be done with it. And then this is the third special, which many people feel is the best. And I love the premise. What if a child confused two holidays, mm-hmm. Halloween and Christmas, and you get the wonderful Great Pumpkin? It's brilliant.
No, it's yeah, because you have Linus waiting for this character that only he believes in.
And it is great, because usually Linus is one of the, you know, the voices of reason, one of
yes.
the, especially in contrast with Lucy, because Lucy being a fuss budget and Lucy with her strange theories on revisionist history and stuff like that. I mean, Linus was the saner of the two, but then obviously even he got caught up in flights of fancy.
Yeah, I think Linus, you know, knows history. Linus knows science, but Linus
knows theology.
Theology.
Linus is still a little boy.
He's still a little boy. He still has faith. I think you see a lot of Linus in Stewie on Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who could build a time machine but still believes Santa Claus is coming.
Only without a football.
Yeah. Yeah. And so yeah, I'm sure there's a football metaphor in there somewhere. Yeah,
and Linus' faith. He never loses his faith. The Great Pumpkin disappoints him every single year. But then the next year, he's back in the pumpkin patch.
Like Charlie Brown. Like Charlie Brown baseball season.
Yeah, I think that's something with all those characters. And you see adults that have that same faith. You know, it's just like, well, my pumpkin patch was not sincere enough. You know, and you see people that will be, well, I didn't pray hard enough. And he, Linus, is that character.
And a favorite B storyline for me is Sally, and she's so in love with Linus. Of course I'll wait with you in the pumpkin patch. And then at the end of the show, I could have had candy and apples and gum. You owe me restitution. Oh, God.
Yeah. Of course, this was also a time when kids could go trick-or-treating on their own.
That's right. You know,
and
back in the day.
Back in the day where you could do that and be somewhat unsupervised And you know, now it's sad when I see, you know, the not the adult celebration, which I think is fun and you can enjoy yourselves, and the theme parks have certainly gone all out with that. We have everything from really scary to happy pumpkin jack-o'-lantern type events that people can go to. But I think a lot of this also has to stem from the fact you can't go into your own neighborhoods. Kids have to go trick-or-treating in the malls.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And emergency rooms stay open to x-ray the candy.
That's right.
And then that is part of it. Is sad that, you know, we have to watch this because this was a more, this was done and it depicts a more innocent time.
I remember when I was a kid, this is early 70s, mid 70s, we started trick-or-treating like around 4 or 5, you know, because that was around the time when people wouldn't. It was the last vestiges of innocence, and where it would be a little risky to do it at night. And I never liked doing it, you know, in the afternoon or early evening, because I figure trick-or-treating isn't trick-or-treating unless it's dark.
Yeah.
But more and more folks today, they'll do it in the afternoon where it's safer.
It's safer. I also remember we used to set our clocks back earlier.
That's right.
And they adjusted that to compensate for Halloween. But yeah, I'd be in City Walk or the Grove or something like that, and you would see the kids out there hitting all the retailers.
Or this is a big trend in Los Angeles. You live in one neighborhood, and several families will pack up the kids and drive to a much better neighborhood.
Yes.
To go trick or treating there. That baffles me. Well, there's better candy over here. There's better treats over here.
That was something that we did when I lived in West Hollywood.
Where'd you go?
We went to Beverly Hills.
Of course.
We
was it really better?
I would say it was better quality. None of that generic stuff.
What, Godiva chocolates?
You get close. And you know when you ring a doorbell, if they were cleaned out, you got cash. I mean, I'm not saying you got Bentleys, but you got. But the thing is, it
pays to scout around.
But this is also at a time where. When we were of a certain age where we could go trick-or-treating unsupervised, and where West Hollywood is now, at that time, it was mostly retired railroad workers that were living in West Hollywood. So, you know, you'd be lucky if you got, you know the minimal amount of candy from these folks. And then, but you could just walk a few blocks, cross over into Beverly Hills, and go up to some of these really nice mansions. I don't know if the kids could do that today if you'd have, like, local, you know, security guards, you know, keeping you out. But we could go over there, and a lot of times these houses would be decorated. And, you know, who knows? They probably have industry prop people and, you know, professional decorators coming in. Sometimes the, you know, I don't know if it was the owner of the house or if it was the servants that would be dressed up. You know, and you would get all this cool stuff, and it was fun, and you could have a lot of fun at that time doing that. And yeah, that is kind of sad that people have to go to better neighborhoods.
Tony Figueroa and Donna Allen are with us as we commemorate the premiere broadcast of It's the Great Pumpkin. Charlie Brown is part of This Week in TV History. We'll take a quick time out, and we'll talk some more with Tony and Donna here on TV Confidential. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.